Well, I hope you guys are ready to dive into the Word. We certainly do truly hope that the Lord speaks to you. So no offense to Josh, but I even found even while he was praying, like I was tracking with you, and then all of a sudden I got distracted a little bit, and I know how that can happen, and I just want to encourage you, however it takes to make sure that we can focus on the Lord and His Spirit this morning as we get into the Word would be really, really good. And so we hope this truly is a good time for you to hear from Him. You know, last week we started looking at what we were referring to as Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, and we took a big chunk, 19 verses, and this morning I'm going to look at only two verses out of that same prayer. So at the very, very end of John 17 in this prayer, two little things that Jesus brings up that I just find striking and couldn't leave this prayer totally undone. I hope they're fruitful to you. So a big piece that I had as a takeaway from the beginning of this prayer was Jesus' prayer of unity amongst the believers. When he's praying for his disciples, in essence, he's praying for the church, and he's praying that there would be unity amongst the brethren, which has got to be rooted in love. Underneath the same banner of Christ and the joy that we have in Him, but rooted in very much love that He gives for us. And so in these final verses, he's going to describe this love in such a way that I thought was just impactful to me. Now, I just want to ask you a question. I don't know if you've ever had a moment. I thought of a moment in my own life like this. But if you've ever had a moment where you knew that you were loved, maybe by somebody, but then it sort of hit another level, or it was reaffirmed or reassured for you in a special way. And I just tell you one little way that I was thinking about that for myself. 17 years old, and I graduated from high school, which I think was probably an amazing accomplishment, that I graduated from high school. But so I don't know if my dad didn't ever say this kind of thing before or not. It felt as though my dad had never said this to me before in my life. And that's hard to imagine that he could have never said this. But I just remember getting that diploma and my dad looking at me and telling me that he was proud of me. And that just hit me. Like, that hit me like a ton of bricks that day. Like, that meant something. And I thought, well, I know my dad must have been proud of me. Surely I knew that. But on that day, and he said that to me, that really, hope something similar happens for you today when we try and dissect a little bit when the Lord Jesus is talking about the love that God has for you. I hope it hits you that you really know the wonderful, wonderful love that the Lord has for you. So two verses in particular. So verse 24 we'll start out with. John 17, verse 24. Mostly we're starting out talking about His glory. We're going to get into His love in a minute, but I just want to see this beautiful setup. So at the end of this prayer that Jesus has, praying for His church, praying for His disciples, and He's saying this, Father, I want those that You have given to me to be with me where I am. Where is that? He's saying, Father, I want those You have given me to be with me where I am. So at the moment, you know, He was on the path to the Garden of Gethsemane. So He was in Jerusalem. That's not what He meant. He didn't mean for every disciple of Christ to be in Jerusalem. He means where He lives now. He means for us to be with Him in heaven. Right? To be with Him in heaven. To be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory You have given me because You loved me before the creation of the world. This is Jesus' plan. And this is what He's talking to the Father about. To get us to heaven. To get us to heaven. To be where He is. And this is heaven. He gives a bit of a definition of it here. This is heaven. That we would behold His glory. So right now we know about Jesus and we think about Jesus. I've got a vision in my mind. I've got an impression upon my heart. This is who God is. This is what He is. But one day there will be no division. There will be no confusion. We'll see Him face to face. We will get to get the full weight, the full understanding of the glory of God. And I think it's just going to be awesome. If you see anybody in Scripture that gets any kind of a glimpse of the presence of God and they just fall on their face, they just fall on their knees, they're so overwhelmed, it's so wonderful. I can't wait for this day to know the glory of God. This is part of his purpose, to behold his God, his glory. Now, I have to confess, when I was younger, I just, and I can appreciate this maybe is the same for some of you, even if you're my age, that the thought of the glory of God when I was younger did not excite me very much. And I know that might be the case for some of you this morning, and I hope to rectify that. You hear the glory of God, yippee, sounds good. And you know, church, we need to get a real taste of what it is so that we can appreciate this. We can't pass over a verse like this and say, oh, the glory of God, yeah, I'm sure that'll be great. It's going to be amazing. My laziness is kind of a sinful vanity to not be excited about the glory of God. It's sort of like thinking, one day I'll be in heaven, and that'll be wonderful because it'll be wonderful for me because of the good things I can do. My legs will work proper, and I'll be able to run like I really feel like I should be able to run. Maybe my hair will grow back. Some wonderful things will happen for me. But that's not what heaven is about. It's about him. His glory. The awe we're going to know just being in the presence of God. That's why I wasn't always inspired by God's glory. I don't know about you. Heaven, it's the glory of God. I hope that you'll be captivated by this amazing glory. The hardest questions that have ever come to your mind or that mankind has ever faced, when we are with him, we will discover that his wisdom is amazing. That his wisdom is unmatched, and there's no issue, there's no problem, there's no complication that'll ever be too difficult. Our filthiest warts and things that make us unclean and that ooze from us, that cause us to not be perfectly acceptable to other people. We're in this life, in this world, and we'd love to be connect and make friends and relationships, and we'd love to be accepted. But we are imperfect, and people see it, and they don't want necessarily anything to do with us, or only this much. And beyond that, my walls are up, and I don't want you to get too close. His compassion, his loveliness is going to wipe that all away. And he will bring us in. When you're with him in heaven, he will bring you in perfectly. The stress that we have, what about the future? Is this going to work out? And we're trying to make our plans. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get married. What if things go weird? How will I know? Where's my security? And we'll be resting in the presence of God one day in heaven, and he will know it all perfectly. There won't be any question marks. And he'll arrange it just right. The glory of God. To underestimate the glory of God, what a shame. Or to undervalue it. And today I hope to exalt it. And we need to know that God's greatest gift to us, that God will ever give to us, is just giving us himself. Because he is the whole package. He is everything. This is what heaven is. It's the glory of God. I want to show you a scripture from 1 Peter, two scriptures out of 1 Peter, starting in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 2, 1 Peter. Peter says, quoting the Lord, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a choice and precious cornerstone." If you had your own Bibles open, I would encourage you to underline that word. But in your own heart, in your own mind, precious. You know who he's talking about, this cornerstone? It's precious. "The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe this, this stone is precious." This is talking about the kind of relationship we are meant to have with Jesus Christ. To recognize him as this one who is so precious because he is. Because he is. That means that he's dear. That means he's special and unique. He's precious. More so, there's people in your lives, I know there are, people that you're married to or children or parents, people in your life that are so precious to you. If you ever lost them, what a hole it would leave in your heart. Jesus is more. Jesus is more. We turn to verse 2 and 3, also of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, like newborn babies, you should crave it, pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Those who really know Jesus, those who know Him as precious, as this perfect, valuable Savior, they begin to crave after Him more and more, or desire Him. I hope it's in your heart today to crave after Jesus, wanting more and more all the time. I'm going to show you quick Matthew 5, verse 6, because Jesus gives us a promise about this. The people who have this in their heart, because one day Jesus will be separating the sheep from the goats, and there'll be people, all these people that say, all of the same kind, we want to know Jesus, but He's going to say, look, some of you didn't really. You said so, but I don't really know you. Some of you are authentic and treated me like precious. You're my sheep, and I'll bring you in. Some of you just said so, but you didn't really mean it. You're just like goats. You're imposters, and I'll just kick you out. Jesus made this promise in Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. The Lord is. Does this speak of us? Those who want Him so bad, the hunger and thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to take a little walk with me as we think about these things. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the old is gone, the new has come. This is talking about a status that we have with the Lord Jesus. If you've become saved, you've been born again believer, the old is gone, new has come. We get a new nature. And when we get a new nature, we get a new nature like that of our Heavenly Father, right? And then we take on some of the family resemblance, as it were. So the things that my father likes become the things sort of that I like. And we begin to dislike the things that our Father in heaven dislikes. And we will cherish the things that our Father cherishes. Our Father in heaven cherishes the Son. It's precious. And if the old is gone and the new has come in our hearts and we are born again, we too ought to be the kind of people who cherish after Jesus Christ and see Him as precious. And one day we will stand with Him in heaven and we will behold His glory. And you will know so far better than you can ever imagine today just how awesome He is. It'll be amazing. That was verse 24 of John 17, and I want to look this morning also at verse 26, the way that Jesus ends this high priestly prayer. His love. When we stand in His glory, this precious one, what we're going to behold is love. Love incomparable. Verse 26, John 17, Jesus says, I have made you known to them. He's speaking about the Father to the disciples. I have made you known to them. And I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me might be in them, and that I myself might be in them. What we want to do for the next few minutes is meditate on this one issue. What is this love? What is this love that Jesus is talking about here? The love, He says, that the Father, God the Father, has for God the Son. He's talking to the Father in heaven. The love that the Father in heaven has for the Son of God, that's the same love that Jesus is praying about would rest in your hearts and would sustain you. He's rejoicing in glory. He's rejoicing in love. Perfect love. It's got to be an infinite love. How less could the Father love the Son? But anything that was eternal, with a love that is infinite in its depths of purpose. It's a love that would bring the two of them into perfect alignment. It's a love of the Father that would give full recognition of full worth to the Son. We love other people and we often find these little problems. These people that you love so deeply, and yet you find, I'm not in perfect alignment with that person. And even though I love them and we have these issues, conflict, because we're sinners. It's very difficult to find a perfect match and perfect love in this world. But between the Father and the Son, there is no imperfection. It is deep in all of its purposes. It's an amazing love, the love of God for God, perfect in union. I want you to catch this morning, church. This is what Jesus is praying for you. This perfect love that there might be between the Father and the Son is the same love that he hopes to dwell in you. That's what Jesus prays for you. How is that even possible? How is that possible that we could even contain such a love, that it could be a part of our lives? Well, take another walk with me and we think about it. The scripture says that if you were saved, you were born again. This is the expression that Jesus uses to Nicodemus when he's asking him about it. If you want to be saved, you must be born again. Let me show you John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, as he's speaking about this issue. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, nobody can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And then he goes on to say in verse 5, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of spirit." So we need to be born of water and of spirit. And if we are born of spirit, we become unified with the Holy Spirit. This is what I think one of the beautiful pictures of the Holy Spirit to live within you is. The Holy Spirit, he's a person of the Trinity. And in many ways, he is the personification of God's love. And he comes to make his residence with you. And our calling is to be filled. You guys see that in the scripture? You guys know that we have these two options in the scripture? In Thessalonians, it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit wants to have light and to quench it. But in Corinthians, it also otherwise, contrarily, tells us that we should instead be filled. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning we should be controlled of the Holy Spirit. We should be allowing God in his perfect love and his Spirit to have his way upon our lives, to rule. I love meditating on 1 Corinthians 13, the famous chapter of love. And yet I find it so often unbearably convicting. I can take just about any one of those little attributes of love as the way they're described in 1 Corinthians 13 and find for myself that I'm struggling to totally uphold it and to keep it. It seems almost impossible. It's a God-transforming work to love like that. But I see in there a picture of the way that God loves. Something that I'm struggling with as I meditate on it and would love to be able to partake of such a great love and find in my own flesh too much weakness to uphold it. But I know that in my God there is no such weakness. So when he says that love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, and love holds no grudges, love considers others before itself, and I know that my God always can do that. Can we just go to that next slide so we can just get a refresher on verse 26 of this love that he has for us? If you could think of the greatest love story of all time, or the greatest love that you know, a cousin of mine that got married or whatever, what a beautiful love story that was. Or some of the greatest authors, and they put together these incredible love stories, and you have an idea in your heart what great love is. You don't have any idea what great love is until you come to some kind of an understanding of what kind of love God the Father has for God the Son. It would outweigh them all. It's something amazing. There's nothing more powerful than the love that the Father has for the Son. There's nothing more continuous and long-standing, without wavering, that the love the Father has for the Son. There is nothing more pure than that love. The energy and the love of God is supreme. Wouldn't you just want to walk into that and be a part of that? But we find obstacles in trying to love because we're in the flesh. We find that we too often love being a distraction from truly absorbing into the love of God. And we find that we are fragile. People in the flesh have a concept of love that is often so flawed. Even two people get married and they think, ah, finally the perfect love. And the great love that will sustain me. And then they find out that the partner that they've married is imperfect. And that hole that they were hoping would be filled in their heart isn't quite filled the way that they thought it might be. And then actually sometimes resentment starts to come up, even bitterness and anger towards the person they're supposed to love because they're not God and they can't fulfill, they can't totally take everything that they were hoping that love would do. You know, I keep seeing time and time again, it breaks my heart. In the news, I see some of the world's most famous people. I saw it this last week was Martin Short, who's a famous actor. If you have don't know who he is, he was famous to me at one time. He wasn't the only one in the same week that I saw who had one of his adult children kill themselves with narcotic overdoses. These people who have everything, and the whole world loves them, and they can give their children everything. These are our superstars. Martin Short was a comedian, or he is a comedian. He should be one of the funniest men in the world. It should be great to be around Martin Short. How could you be lacking any kind of love or any kind of enjoyment? And that these people with everything, and they're finding it deathly hollow. Deathly hollow. We just can't seem to quite sustain and keep. But this is not the love of our God. He is perfect. In Christ Jesus, His desire is to make the Father known. And He continues to make the Father known. When we love, it always has to equal sacrifice to love other people. It always requires a bit of sacrifice on our part to love other people well. We're nearly never perfectly matched. We're sinners loving other sinners. It's a sacrifice always to be loving other people. But it's not the case with God. And when God is loving God, it is a perfect union. There's never any sacrifice. There's only perfect worth. The love between the Father and the Son, perfectly easy to love. No sacrifice needed between them. He is perfectly worthy, and He doesn't require reciprocity. Do you know what I mean? You have that feeling like, I love this person, but I would sure like it if they would love back appropriately. These are these things that I'm doing for them. Why can't they do these things for me? And we find as we love other humans, and we are different people. So the way a man maybe loves, well, because I mowed the lawn and I shoveled the snow, and I did, that's what I can do. That's how I show my love to my wife. And she's like, well, you just need to do that so that we can get out of the driveway. Doesn't care. I need a little bit of a different kind of a love. And we're not always so perfectly matched. But with God, perfect always. The love of God is pure pleasure. When God is pleased in the Son, and Jesus is saying His desire is for that to become your pleasure, nothing will ever be disappointing when we're with Him in heaven. And that's what Jesus is praying for you. This is what Jesus is praying for you. That this love that the Father has for the Son would be with you. That the love you have for me might be in them. This is Jesus' hope for you in His prayer. To have the passion to enjoy our perfectly heavenly Father. It will be achieved one day in heaven. Jesus' prayer is that it would start today for you, that you would be drawn more into the love of God, to know the goodness and the greatness of our God. So my hope is that Jesus' prayer would be satisfied in you. So church, let's call upon the Lord. I'm going to invite you to join me as we pray and ask the Lord that His petition would be fulfilled amongst the saints. Lord Jesus, our perfect Heavenly Father, I do pray, Lord, that You would help us have a little glimpse today, just a little hope and anticipation, some kind of sense and understanding of the amazing love there must be between Father and Son in heaven. And Lord Jesus, I can't imagine anything more sustaining, satisfied in our lives today, that this perfect love would be the very thing that overwhelms Your saints, that sustains us, becomes the vision of our lives, and carries us through no matter what comes, today, tomorrow, or the next day. Lord Jesus, would Your Spirit be just rich with Your people today, to know You, to know Your love, and have some wonderful satisfaction that You are a perfect, faithful God. May Your love be rich amongst Your people. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen.